Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I'm the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is both a podcast, as you obviously know, and a blog. So I'm really excited to chat with you guys today because it's actually my one-year blogiversary. I'm not really sure if like people celebrate that, but I'm going to celebrate it because I never thought that 1 year ago today I would be podcasting and be surrounded by such a great community of health and wellness people that just are nonstop supporting each other and informing each other. And I'm just so happy where Bring Your Own Kombucha has really taken me and shown me so many opportunities. And I'm so grateful that everyone is listening in. So I really appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you for your support. I also want to note that I have a ton of giveaways going on my Instagram this week. So we have a 1 month free kombucha giveaway. All you have to do is go to my Instagram and tag a couple of friends, follow Love Suja, and you'll be entered. I have other giveaways from everything from jewelry to oils to healthy snacks. It's literally jam-packed week full of giveaways and lots of cool stuff, so make sure you check that out. So today's podcast guest is Candice Gotchell. She is a mom of a three-year-old, and she lives in Nova Scotia. She worked in the bartending industry for about 9 years, but she's currently working in the marketing and business development industry. She started Detox on the Rocks in April 2017, so coincidentally, we actually started our blogs at the same exact time, and we'll actually talk about that a lot in this episode. But her focus was really to just start a conversation around wellness and helping women remove guilt after indulging, because really, I feel like there's a lot of guilt and there's stigma around, you know, like, oh, you had ice cream, oh, you're having cookies with your lunch or whatever. And really, I mean, we just need to eliminate that. And Candice really exemplifies that empowering, motivational attitude that I think we all need to encompass. And so with that being said, her mantra is kind of, she firmly believes in girl talk and a bottle of wine. So this episode, just to give you guys a little bit of a head start, is primarily us talking about the millennial generation, because we just feel like our generation is getting such a bad reputation for no reason. I mean, really, we're the hustlers. We're the ones, you know, working 9 to 5 and then having side jobs, whether it be at a department store or blogging or waitressing, because we have those student loans and, you know, the economy hasn't really picked up, in my opinion at least, as much as everybody says it has. I mean, of course, there are people who are fortunate and they don't have student loans, or they're able to afford, you know, a house in their area. But I mean, even I have friends in California who tell me that the housing market there is just insane. And to, you know, come out of college and be able to afford that, it just doesn't match up. So this episode is kind of interesting because it's not so much health and wellness related, but it's just something that our generation is dealing with. And I don't know, we just want to start a conversation around it. So let me know your feedback, because I really want to know if you guys enjoy these types of episodes. I might mix them up here and there and throw them into the podcast. And yeah, so I love hearing your feedback. Please, 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 if you feel inclined, go to iTunes and rate and review my podcast. Take a screenshot of your review, send it to me, and I will send you a little thank you with some Cassandrino's olive oil. And if you haven't heard of Cassandrino's olive oil, it is a organic olive oil brand by a family-run company. So what I love about Cassandrino's is that their olives are actually hand-picked from century-old trees in Greece, and they're pressed within 48 hours of harvest. They only sell the current year's harvest of olive oil, as opposed to, you know, most store-bought brands where you don't know how long ago those olives were pressed, and you know, these brands could be sitting on the shelf for years and years. why I personally choose to use Cassandrine Oath, and even more specifically is go organic with my olive oil, is because the olive oil industry is actually not heavily regulated. Therefore, a lot of the companies claim that they're selling 100% olive oil, but really their bottles are tapped with other unhealthy oils such as soybean or grape seed, and it's just not worth it. If I'm trying to put organic, healthy food into my body, I want to know that I'm using 100% olive oil. So if you want to give them a chance, head over to cassandrinos.com, or they're also sold on Amazon. And if you use code kombucha, you'll save an extra 10%. Thank you so much for supporting my podcast. Thank you so much for supporting my sponsors. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Hi, Candace, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi.
I'm so excited to have you on today.
I am so excited to be here.
So would you mind just giving a brief background about yourself for the listeners?
Yeah, so my name's Candace. I'm from the Yukon. I recently moved to Nova Scotia just about 6 or 7 months ago. I'm a mom of a little girl, Lily, who's almost 3. I spent the last 9 years bartending and serving, and through that, just being surrounded by women who were obviously, like, always concerned about, like, appearance and health and healthy lifestyles in a really busy schedule, I was motivated to start Detox on the Rocks, and that's my blog, and that's to just kind of change the conversation a little bit around health and wellness and kind of open it up to allowing women to not feel guilty about the choices they were making if they needed a night out or to just relax or they really wanted a cheeseburger.
Yeah, no, and I feel like that resonates with so many people in our generation. And I was really looking forward to recording this episode today because we're kind of going off like the beaten path and like really talking about the nitty gritty like issues of millennials nowadays and like stuff that people aren't acknowledging and aren't mainstream. So I'm really excited to dive in.
Absolutely. I think there's a whole new wave of, like you said, just issues that we're dealing with that aren't being talked about or even really being recognized yet.
So, and before we jump in, I think it's really funny because we actually started our blog, I think like in the same month, like our blog launched in the same month. I don't know.
I think like the same week. Like
yeah. Like, I don't know what was going on in the universe at that time, but literally so many people like launched their blog that week. So it's been like really fun watching like everybody grow and connect and like, I don't even know how or why that happened.
I know. And what I love is I feel like previously there was like the first bloggers, there's this whole kind of like group of them, this kind of generation of bloggers. And then the industry became so saturated, and then it's like we got to like start our own generation of bloggers.
Totally. Yeah, because we're like coming up on our 1 year really soon.
Yep. Anniversaries.
So you wrote an article called Cheers Millennials because nobody else is doing it, and it got a lot of attention. So do you want to just tell us a little bit of why you wrote that article and like the motivation behind it?
Oh my gosh, I feel like there were so many things, like every single day I feel like I had another motivator to do that post, and it was something I had thought about basically from day one, and I wanted to wait until I couldn't just like sit down and write it. I had to like have, so there was so much passion behind that, and I think a big thing is like, I look at like myself and all my friends and what everyone's doing. You know, we're going to our day jobs and we're rushing to our night jobs and we're working on our side hustles and people are struggling to get through school. And at the same time, people are putting our generation down, being like, oh, millennials are living with their parents until they're 25 and making fun of us for always being on our phones. And I think that we really have a generation of like hustlers and people who are so passionate and just non-judgmental and who are just really out there just like striving to like do the best that they can, and we're just constantly being like knocked down. Maybe not knocked down, but people trying to knock us down.
No, totally. I definitely think that our generation has a bad reputation of just, you know, heads in our phones, but like what they don't know is that like I work 9 to 5, so my head's in my phone when I get home because I'm trying to work on my side hustle. I'm trying to work on my blog. When I'm at the grocery store and I'm waiting in line and my head's in my phone, I'm answering emails. I'm working. We're hustling. We're not just like, you know, looking at stupid GIFs on Instagram or wherever. You know, I feel like that's like the little known fact that like people don't realize.
Yeah, it's not like we have a 9 to 5 that we, you know, we go home and we just get to shut off from our job and be with our families. Like, we're doing so much and it's constant for us.
Totally. And so right now you work a full-time job and you're a mom, which is basically a full-time job in itself.
Yeah.
And yeah. You also blog, correct?
That's right.
And you've been doing that for almost a full year now, right?
Yeah.
So how do you find the time to, like, balance everything?
I mean,
that magic honestly, word balance.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I honestly feel like I'm not balanced, and I think that you have to get to a point where you just have to be okay with that. I'm really lucky the position I'm in right now, where my boyfriend gets to be home with our daughter during the day, and so we are very fortunate to have that, and that's not something everyone gets to have, but that just helps with like the things around the house without feeling like you're falling apart. But otherwise, I mean, I think you really just have to allow yourself to be a little bit selfish at times. And allow yourself to be like, okay, you know what? Like, I need to take an hour straight to zone up from everything and, like, work on my blog so that I am then present for my daughter for the rest of the evening.
I love that. And, like, do you personally treat your blog like it's your second job? Like, I feel like people who don't blog or who don't have, like, that second entrepreneurial job don't understand, like they don't grasp that you have to treat it with the same intensity and, you know, importance as like a job because you're trying to build something.
Absolutely. I mean, I do get a lot of like, oh, you have a blog, that's cute. But like people don't realize how much work goes into a single post, and you know, between like taking the photos and editing and writing and sharing the content and driving people there. And yeah, I mean, I find I probably spend a solid 25-30 hours a week on my blog. So it really is like another job.
That's a long time. And yeah. I feel like people really don't realize all the work that goes into it, especially like, and we're getting this bad rep as like our millennial generation, but really we're the ones like hustling and working harder than they even realize.
Exactly.
So I think it's also funny because when I read your article, I totally related to it, but it didn't click to me that I was a millennial. I'm 30 years old. And so like when I was doing like research on like just like statistics on like, you know, how many people go to college and et cetera, I was like, oh crap. Like, I'm a millennial. So millennials are actually, let's see, I have it here. They are in the 20 to 35 years old range right now.
Yep.
So crazy. So I kind of want to jump over to, okay, so let's talk about college for a minute because I feel like, you know, we both listen to the Skinny Confidential podcast, and Michael and Lauren often talk about how they don't agree with everybody going to college, you know, nowadays. They're like, they're more focused on, you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur, then you really need to just have that motivation and work ethic and kind of push yourself in that direction, as opposed to wasting 4 years in college and putting yourself in so much debt, which is like a whole nother conversation in itself. But I mean, I try and explain this to people all the time, like older people that like fatal as, you know, you're so fortunate, like, you got to go to college and yada, yada, yada. And while we are so fortunate, like, taking out loans to go to college and paying for your tuition is astronomical. I mean, like, I went to a college that was $35,000 a year, and then I went to law school. So you can only imagine the amount of loans that, like, the average student has to pay for. So when you graduate, you're not, like, starting out at zero and you just have to, you know, like, work your way up and save. You're, like, starting with a mortgage before you even get a mortgage.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and if you think about it, like, if you're paying $35,000 a year for school, 2 years of school is what, you know, our parents probably paid for their first house.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I was also reading a really good statistic that was saying that 61% of the millennial generation has gone to college, while only 46% of the baby boomer generation has gone to college, which actually I was kind of surprised. I felt like that was actually pretty high for the baby boomer generation.
Yeah, but I'm surprised.
With that being said, according to the U.S. Census, 40% of unemployed workers are millennials, which is huge. So not only are we going to college and incurring so much debt through our tuition, then, you know, you graduate and you're not guaranteed a job. I mean,
yeah. I mean, a bachelor's degree is, like, if you look at, like, job postings, a bachelor's degree is, like, basically useless now, which is heartbreaking.
It really is. It's, like, it's so normalized that, I mean, you really, it's like nothing, just like you were saying, like, you need a bachelor's degree to get any entry-level job, which is ridiculous, because you shouldn't have to. It should be, like, something that, you know, pushes you ahead.
Absolutely. It should kind of put you at the top of the list. And what's also really unfortunate is these people who, you know, do get a job with their bachelor's degree, they're barely making a living wage.
You're right. You're right. And that's the other thing, like, salaries haven't gone up in commensurate with inflation.
No, not even close.
Like,
and I saw a stat on this, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was, but it was basically like, what was it? It was something like the tuition had gone up. You know, what was the stat on there?
Oh, I have it.
Sorry.
With college tuition seeing a 1,140% increase since the late 70s. How is that even possible?
Right? And I feel like, and I could be wrong about this, so don't quote me on this, but I had seen something, it was on the news, that about wages going up something like 40%.
Are, like, what do you mean? Are wages going up 40%?
Yeah, from, like, the 70s.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if that is, like, this was in Canada as well, so I don't know if that's, like, overall Canada for a certain, like, province, but on average, it was something like 40%.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's insane. The other statistic that I was reading was that, this is just so nuts. Right now, we have the highest percentage of 20-somethings ever, around 26% living home their parents. Like, it's just not fair. That's not what 20-somethings are supposed to be doing or should be forced to do just because they have college loans and tuition. And, you know, back in the day, people graduated high school and they got jobs and they were able to move out and live on their own, support themselves. And nowadays, we're, like, put into so much college debt. The average college debt for a millennial is around $33,000 that, I mean, you're forced to stay home with your parents longer and, I mean, they're forced to take care of you longer. That also backfires on them. I'm sure they want to retire.
They're like, get out of my house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure when they're, you know, 60 years old, they're not expecting their 30-year-old to be still at home trying to, you know, figure out a way to move out.
No, you turn 18, they're like, I'm done.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Well, and I feel like people, and that's part of the thing, too, is people are like, oh, millennials stay at home longer because they think that we're lazy or don't want to work. But that's not the case. Like, what 20-something-year-old wants to be, like, going home after a night out to, like, their parents' house? Nobody wants to do that. And it's really unfortunate because, like, I mean, we get these jobs that, you know, they allow us to just scrape by, and they're not giving us a chance at having that kind of, like, traditional lifestyle. And I feel like we're almost treated, and this could just me being like bitter, but I feel like we're almost treated like we don't deserve it. Like, it, like you were seen as someone who is extremely lucky if you have a job that also allows you to buy a house.
No, I agree 100%. And it's funny that you said that, because it's like, because we go to college and we don't get to start our life till a little bit later, and then it takes us a little bit longer to kind of like hit the ground running and not even buy a home, but just like be able to move out and afford an apartment on top of college tuition. On top of that, we're like starting families later. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like our generation is having babies later and later and later. And not that it's a bad thing, but we don't have that option. You know,
absolutely.
It's just...
And I can totally relate to that, because, like, for instance, where we're at right now, like, my boyfriend and I were like, we'd love to have another child, but, like, you know, we haven't even bought a house yet, and we want to be, like, renting and moving from house to house, and rent for a 3-bedroom house is ridiculous. So we're like, we're stuck in that kind of situation right now.
I totally agree. Me and my husband are both 30 years old, and we're, you know, expecting our first child, but it's like we had to wait until 30 because we were in college, and then I went to law school, and then we moved out, but we couldn't get a house yet, and now we finally got our house. So it's just like, you know, you're just pushing the timeline further and further back, and it's difficult.
It really is.
So another fun topic that I feel like millennials kind of treat their importance levels differently. So what I mean by that is, back in the day, you were told to just, like, you know, work really hard, buy a house, invest. And nowadays, I feel like our generation is getting kind of a bad rep also, because we like to travel and we like to put our money into, you know, the healthy food that we're putting into our body. Our priorities are just different, you know. So I know you kind of had a lot to say about that. So how do you feel about that?
I think it's hilarious that people kind of look down on that, because I think that is something that is so amazing about our generation. I think we're fortunate, absolutely. Like, we are very lucky that we have these opportunities to see what else is out there. I mean, you can go on your phone and be like, from Canada, like, what's the hottest cafe in Italy, and then be like, okay, I want to go here. And you can, like, we have access to so much information, and we're so fortunate for that. And I think that I just love that. Like, I think traveling is an experience. And they say, I did read an article that said our generation is focus more on experiences. So we're spending money on, like, going to restaurants. There's the whole avocado toast thing. We're going out, going for drinks with our friends. And I just think it's really funny, because it contradicts people saying we don't know how to communicate because we're always on our phones, when people are so focused on communicating and experiencing things and sharing that and getting to know people through different channels.
I love that you just said that, because you are so right. Our generation gets that bad rep for, like, oh, you guys don't know how to communicate, you're constantly on your phone, blah, blah, blah. But you're right. We're the ones traveling. We're the ones trying to be cultured. We're the ones, you know, going out and spending our money on experiences over, you know, having a picket fence and, you know, all yes. that, you know, and that's such a great point. I love that.
And I really like how you pointed out too, like, eating, like, we're more focused on eating healthy and putting nutritious foods in our bodies. And that is something that I think, I mean, when we were kids, I think we all kind of have that story of, like, what the food trends were when we were kids, like, what we ate as kids. Like, I have pictures of me being, like, 2 years old with, like, a can of 7-Up, which is disgusting.
Oh, yeah. I had, like, birthday parties at McDonald's for, like, years. Like,
yes. Exactly. And I feel like it's so awesome that our generation is focusing on eating healthy. And sure, maybe there's trends and there's fads and there's people get so hooked on different ideas that maybe aren't always correct or the right thing for that person, but the fact that people are aware of this and are really focusing more on, like, shopping at farmers markets and buying locally and growing their own, like having their own little garden, or at least growing some herbs in their house. Like, I think that's awesome, and I think that's such a positive thing about our generation.
I totally agree. I love that. So what was the kind of, I'm really interested to hear, like, the kind of feedback that you got when you posted your article, Cheers to Millennials, because it was such a different article. It was something that, like, you know, that you were pointing out that nobody had really pointed out before. Like, you see all these articles, especially on, like, CNN and, like, all the mainstream media talking, like, crap about millennials, all the things we're doing wrong. And then, like, you came out and you're like, actually, cheers to us, because we're the ones working 9 to 5. We're the ones traveling. We're the ones, you know, actually doing a lot more work than you're giving us credit for, and, you know, paying those student loans and working and trying to have a family. And, like, I'm very curious to see, like, hear what your feedback was.
I was really surprised. I got a lot of positive feedback. I mean, when the day I posted that, the traffic on my blog just, like, blew up, which was really exciting to see. And the comments were unreal. There were a couple people who were like, well, I'm 15. I did this and I did that and, you know, worked two jobs and, you know, they can kind of relate, which is, like, of course. I mean, there's people from every generation who can, who maybe took a different route or had a different experience, just like there will be from ours too. Like I said in the post, like, there's a lot of assholes in our generation too, you know. It's not like we're all great. Like, they exist. But I mean, it kind of opened up the conversation for some girls that were commenting on the blog that were like, thank you for saying this. Like, I'm in school full time. I work part time in a cafe. I bartend at night and I'm starting my own thing. I have a blog. And it's just like, there were so many people who it seemed like it was like a conversation they had been waiting to have with somebody, which was really exciting to see. And it made the whole thing just so worth it.
I love that. Yeah, no, your article definitely sheds so much light in our community, just because, like I said, it just hasn't been said before. It's just been so negative, you know, on us millennials. And then for you to come out and be like, actually, cheers to us, that was great. And it was, like, perfect timing.
Oh, yay, that makes me happy. Because, I mean, I feel like these are, you know, there's so many of us who are, like, would feel, you know, we get all this negativity. We feel the, like, but we're so, like, I do this, this, and this. We want to defend ourselves. And it's just, like, a conversation that hasn't really been had enough.
I totally agree. So the other thing that I know we talked about we wanted to bring up was the fact that our generation is a little bit more focused on collaboration over competition.
Yes, that is honestly one of my most favorite things about our generation. And like I said, I feel like I don't want to call it a trend because I would hate to see that as something that, like, people do because it's trendy and, like, it goes away. But I think that it is something that people have seen be so effective and are really going that route and changing their mindsets.
I totally agree. And I definitely see that it's very prominent in the blogging world and Instagram world as well, too, that you know, I feel like the generation of bloggers before us, they were very competitive, and our generation of bloggers are very collaboration over competition, meaning that we rather work together, and just because we started the blog in the same month, we're not like, oh, we're competing against each other. Like, no, like, let's work together. Let's build up our blogs together. Let's, you know, build each other up.
Absolutely. And it's funny because when we were doing the wellness challenge together, there were a couple people who were like, you know, this girl's blog is, like, very similar to yours. Like, you guys kind of have, like, a similar voice and similar topics. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why I chose her. Like, and I'm like, because people who like my blog are going to like yours and vice versa. Like, it's a very, you know, they're going to enjoy the same kind of content. So it just makes sense rather than, you know, competing with you.
No, I totally agree. And, like, to your point, like, you wrote this kick-ass article, Cheers to Millennials, that, like, I didn't write. And, like, even though, like, our blogs are super similar, like, we're gonna have different things to say and we're gonna have different voices. And there's room for both of us to grow. You know, one of us doesn't have to fail for the other one to succeed.
Exactly. We have different stories. We're sharing different things just around a similar path, kind of like, you know, our similarity is that we talk wellness and we have different ways of going about that.
Absolutely. 100%. The other thing about the blogging world right now is I feel like everybody's trying to just get like as many followers as possible instead of, I don't know, my mentality is just kind of like, put your head down, do your work, enjoy what you're doing, and it'll grow. It'll grow at whatever rate it's supposed to grow at, you know? And I feel like just like so many people are just like hungry for followers. Like, you know, I'll get like 50 new followers in a day, and then the next day it'll like go down 40. And I'll be like, how did that happen? Like, people just they'll follow you. And then once you follow them back, they'll unfollow you. It's like crazy game.
It's ridiculous. And I feel like I've had to stop caring. Like, it's so hard because I feel like Instagram is such an important part of blogging. And I love it. I love being on there. And I really love Instagram's story. But I try to remind myself that, like, I didn't start my blog for Instagram followers. I started it for the blog and the story that's on there. But it is so frustrating watching your follower, like, I'll wake up and I'm like, oh, I got 5 new followers overnight. And then I check, I'm like, oh, I have 12 less than I did yesterday.
Yeah, no, it totally makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. But I love that point that you just made because you're right. It's about like the content you're putting out and the enjoyment of like actually creating the blog as opposed to just the numbers that, you know, that you're trying to produce. And for people who don't blog, the reason that numbers are important is because that's how you eventually get, you know, sponsorship or even just products sent to you to try out. And, you know, a lot of us would love to be doing this full time. So that's why, you know, sponsorship by the right brands that fit with your blog are important to us.
Absolutely. And if, yeah, I mean, as like those things are obviously like not the point of creating this content, but like the goals of being able to sustain it and do it full time. And so it really is, it does get so frustrating to see people doing the follow unfollow thing. But what I really try to remind myself is that like those people, when I do get a brand sponsorship, they're not going to be following closely enough along to then go and support that brand. So they're really doing me a disservice of like following me just to get a follow back anyways.
Right. So it's definitely more about the quality over the quantity, because if you have, you know, 20,000 followers and they're not quality followers, they're not going to purchase the brand that you're promoting. And then in return, you're not going to get, you know, sponsored by that brand again. They're not just like, you know, oh, you have 5,000 followers, let me, you know, pay you to like talk about my brand. No, they want return. They want your followers to buy their product.
Yeah, it's a business.
It totally is. The other thing is that I feel like, I mean, personally, not that I really scope it out too deeply, but like you can definitely tell when people are buying followers. When they have like, you know, 20 posts and 6,000 followers.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So when, they sent me like a follow for follow thing or whatever. And I checked their Instagram, they have like 6 posts and like 5,000 followers. I was like, that wouldn't happen. Especially with today's algorithm. It's not like, you know, a brand with like 40,000 followers shouts you out and then you get all these followers. It doesn't, you might get like 5.
True story. So I went on vacation, and I won't give too many details. I doubt the girl's listening, but I went on vacation in October and I met this girl who was like in our tour group, and she was like, oh yeah, I'm like a college student, but I also, you know, I'm an influencer on Instagram. So I was like, oh, so cool. Like I'm a blogger, whatever. And she was like, yeah, I have like 10,000 followers. I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like any tips you have for me, let me know. I'm like at 2,500, you know? And while we were on vacation, she was like dressing up in like these dresses that were sent to her that she needed to, you know, pose in grease and so she could promote them on her Instagram. And when we got back to the States, I like looked her up, and she literally had like, I want to say like 18 posts and like 10,000 followers. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way that is an organic growth. It just doesn't add up.
That just wouldn't happen.
It was so crazy. I was like, that, like, you had to have bought those followers. There's no other explanation unless you went through and deleted, like, hundreds and hundreds of Instagram photos.
Yeah, like, literally hundreds.
Yeah.
And there's no longevity in that. Like, it's like, cool, you have 10,000 followers and these brands are sponsoring you, but then when no one's buying the product, you don't have that partnership anymore.
Absolutely. That's definitely not a long-term sustainable goal. Yep. I just thought that was really funny because I was, like, so impressed. And then once I looked up, I was like, there's no way. I definitely just got fooled.
That's amazing.
So how do you feel about Instagram loop giveaways? And for those of you who don't know, a loop giveaway is when a bunch of bloggers or Instagrammers or influencers gather together. There's usually like 15 of them, and they pull together. They pay like, I don't know, like $200 each for like a kick-ass iPhone or iPad. I don't know. I've seen like crazy giveaways. And in order to enter the giveaway, you have to follow each and every one of the 15 influencers on Instagram and go to, you know, from one site to the next to the next. And then that's how you enter the giveaway. And there's just kind of like, there's a lot of shade between them. And I'll admit, like, I've done one before. I didn't do one that was that expensive, but, I've done one before. And really, personally, I didn't see much growth out of it. But, I mean, other people have had different experiences. So I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on the matter.
I still don't really know how I feel about them. I've never done one. I've entered, like, two. Honestly, they're from, like, I guess to say, like, consumer perspective, like, to enter them, I find them really annoying because they're so time-consuming. And they are really good giveaways. So there's like, thousands of people who enter them. And you're, like, I don't know. It just kind of seems ridiculous to me. But I feel like, and this is, again, coming from someone who's never actually done one, I feel like you're not getting any valuable following out of it. They're the people that are probably going to unfollow you. They're probably not going to engage. And I think there's a lot more value in, like, partnering with someone, just like one person, and doing a giveaway that you, like, both promote, and it's, you know, a brand that your readers are actually going to enjoy. To me, it just makes more sense to do it that way.
I totally agree. And, like, based off of, like, a couple of my friends who are bloggers, and the feedback that I've received as well is just that, you know, you're not, people are just entering to win that prize, and they're going to either unfollow you or just not engage with you if they're not interested in what you're promoting. Like, for example, I know, like, I every once in a while I'll enter one. And, like, a few years ago, I entered one, and there was, like a mom blogger and a vegan blogger and one. Like, I'm not vegan, or I wasn't pregnant at the time, so that wasn't relevant to me. So even though I entered that giveaway and they got my follow, they didn't get an organic follower because I'm not going to purchase or, you know, feed into any of their sponsorships because it's just not relevant.
Exactly. And you're not engaging with their content. And so it's again, it's like buying your followers in a way.
I totally agree. So from the either newbie blogger or somebody who's just like looking to up their blogging game, what are three tips that you would give to a new blogger who wanted to really just work on their organic growth and, you know, get their blog going?
Ooh, good question. I think one is like, It's hard to do this. I feel like it's easier to talk to people you don't know than people you do know, especially when it comes to sharing your content. It's like, I was so nervous the first few posts I did, but I found, like, the girls, like, in my town and, like, who were like girls like I knew but wasn't necessarily like good friends with, were so supportive. And I feel like to this day, they're the still the ones who like are seeing it first or maybe sharing it or commenting on it. So I think just like, just you really need to like, even if you have to fake your confidence, like promote yourself within like your circle, or just talk about it. Like tell people like, oh yeah, and I have a blog, and people are instantly going to be like, oh, like what are you talking about? Like, I want to see it. And if they've met you, if they know you, they're going to follow you and they're going to engage with you. Otherwise, I would say sharing content that you truly love and creating, like, even not just your own, but I mean, like, if you want to eventually maybe team up with another blogger, or even just promoting another blogger that you love, especially someone who's smaller and, you know, doesn't have 600,000 followers and your share is getting lost, but support those other girls in the space, because they're going to remember that. And of course, do it with the intention of like sharing the content and not hoping to get something out of it. But I feel like so many friendships have been established that way. I think like that's how we met, and there's other girls in the space that I feel like they're just, you know, an Instagram story all of a sudden, someone's like, oh, I love this post by Detox on the Rocks. And now I feel this connection to that person and I feel like a friendship. And again, you have a similar following and it's just getting out there more that way. And for the third, commenting on other people's posts and showing true engagement, you know, don't be fake. Don't be like, oh, like nice dress or great brows or whatever, but ask a question or provide some like feedback. And whether it's the person you're commenting on or people in the comment thread, you just get seen that way, and it's the most organic way.
I love those tips. I especially love the first one, like really putting yourself out there, because I feel like that's like the scariest thing to do when you first start your blog. Like hitting publish for the first time, you're like, oh my God. Inner anxiety attack.
Yeah, I like, it's so hard. And sometimes even still when I'm like posting something, I'm like, because I know who's reading it sometimes, and I'm like, oh my God, like what if this person like judges me for saying this or thinks this? And you kind of have to put those blinders on and just remember, like, this is your voice and this is for you. And you'd be really surprised at, like, who really wants to support you.
I totally agree. And it's funny, you just made me think of something else when you said that. It's kind of like, you know, I feel like it's similar in the sense that, you know, on Facebook, a lot of people, I'm sure you see this, like, especially with, like, politics and stuff, people just, like, rant and rave, and they, you know, they give their opinion, and then once they get somebody else's opinion back, they can't handle it. Like, me and my husband, you know, we have, like, our political views and our views on the world and whatever, but we just don't share them on Facebook, because when you put something out there, you need to be able to take back the opposite. You know, you need to be able to take criticism back. So I kind of feel that way with the blog. You know, not that I want to play it safe, but I'm very mindful of what I put out there, because I know that by sharing my opinion, I could get somebody else's opinion that I necessarily don't want. It might be angry, it might be rude, it might be aggressive. So, I mean, like you said, I try and put my blinders on and just, you know, this is my opinion, but I'm also very mindful of what I put out there, because, I mean, once you put it out there, it's out there. It's on the internet.
People can be so sensitive, and it's funny that some people just can't accept that somebody has their opinion about something. You might not have the same one, and that's fine. People want to, like, voice it if it's not the same.
Especially when it comes to health and wellness, because it's like, you know, different strokes for different folks. Like, everybody's body is different. You know, sometimes a vegan lifestyle works for one person and doesn't work for somebody else. And, like, you know, I don't want to just, like, pick on vegans, but, you know, like, you know, different people who had different lifestyles, very passionate about, you know, what they eat, what they put into their body and whatnot. And, you know, you could get a really negative feedback sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. Because some people are so black and white when it comes to health and wellness. And people really need to remember, I think, that, like, wellness is such a personal journey. And it's just such a gray area, because even personally, like, what worked for me a year ago doesn't work for me now. And that happens with everyone. So imagine how different two completely separate people are.
I totally agree. And that, like you said it perfectly, it's a journey. Like what works for us in our 20s might not work for us in our 40s. So it's like constantly changing, constantly evolving. And I think that's why I really love your blog so much, because it touches on everything. It doesn't leave anything out. And, you know, you leave it open to growth and opportunity and different points of views.
Thank you. That was like really what I was trying to hope to achieve with it. I think, again, for millennials, it's so easy to feel guilty about all of our choices. Like, oh, I put sugar in my coffee. And then like, oh, is it like organic raw coconut sugar? Like, we feel so guilty. From the minute we wake up, we're scrolling through Instagram. We know what all of our favorite bloggers ate for breakfast. And now we're like, oh, I guess I better not eat that piece of toast. And I think that like, There's so much more to it than that, and that it's not just what you put in your bodies, but how you treat your body. And, you know, like I always say, sometimes you just need like a glass of wine. Like,
oh, absolutely. So for those of you that don't know, Candace and I started a group on Facebook called Wellness and Wine, where we share, you know, just different like health and wellness tips. And we really want to try and cultivate a community. So Candace, can you just like tell everyone a little bit about it?
Yeah. So we had originally started the group as a challenge for January. And the idea of that was to kind of do like mini challenges that focus not on like your typical New Year's resolutions, like I want to lose 15 pounds, I'm going to go to the gym every day, but just creating a healthier like lifestyle and healthier routines. So the challenges were like drink 3 liters of water a day, wake up an hour earlier and like spend some time on yourself in the morning. Like one was give up takeout or like eating out for a whole week and cook at home and make your own food. And after that, we decided to keep the group going and just share all of our tips, what's working for us. It's a great place. Like if you have any questions, because there's so many people in there who've experienced like so many different, whether it's like health issues or they have allergies or intolerances, it's a great place to ask questions and get other people's tips and feedback and advice. And one thing I love about it, we have a few bloggers in there who are really great and who like, I love to share their content because it's really good. But what's also nice is you're not being bombarded with people just trying to get their blog posts out. So you're getting like real, like raw information from girls who've really experienced these things and are just telling like a very genuine story.
I totally agree. And I love that it's just not like blogger based or anything like that. These are just like 20 and 30 something year old women who just want to like share their health and wellness tips. And you'll see like a blog post every now here and again, you know, with health and wellness tips, but it's really just focused on like cultivating that community and helping each other out.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have one more question for you before we wrap this up.
Okay.
The biggest question of the day. What is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh my gosh. I love the multigreen one. Is it GTS who makes it?
Oh, I've actually never tried that one.
It's my favorite. Absolute favorite.
Oh, I'm going to have to pick that up.
Yes, it's so good.
So where can everybody find you? Social media, website, and all that good stuff.
So my blog is detoxontherocksblog.com. Instagram, Twitter is detoxontherocks.
Perfect. And if you want to join our Facebook group, you can just search Wellness and Wine. And it's a closed group. So actually, we should mention that as well. You have to request to join. It's women. Is it women only?
Yeah, women only.
And you know, it's like kind of like what happens in the group stays in the group. and that's why we create a closed group. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I'm so excited to air this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.